5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Bad seed, broken head, bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad tape, bad lie, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad punch. We are live in the Farrell Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny likes to sit next to the fire in her recliner and smoke big old tokes of the hookah in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People trust the plastic bags, the bread to travel, some kind of fashion shake it up should do, but all my friends that come around, fight the floods of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what am I, sis, tads, and tatted, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, shadooby, shakadoo. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Mafia tonight on a bench. 844-843-6879 is the number. Jimmy Buckets at the line in a 97-96 Heat lead over the next great game. 4 seconds left. He misses the first. Woo! Now you got to get that rebound. Big chance at the other end to win the game for Randall. He missed a fadeaway on the baseline. Mitchell Robinson got the rebound. Then it gets stripped from him. And then Burks levels Butler and knocks him down, giving Butler the two free throws. Butler went into Oscar mode. He got the Oscar for his performance on the ground. Like, he was injured, had his head concussed, eye gouged out, and then once he got the call and everything was under control, he popped up and went over to the bench and laughed with his teammates because he was so full of Shaq. Anyway, 98-96 Miami, 6.2 seconds left in the game. The Knicks have the ball, can tie or win with a three. It's been an unbelievable game. It really has. And it was D. Rose's first game, Derrick Rose's first game with the Knicks. And I got to tell you, I don't know if you watch Moff, but he played brilliantly. I just thought he was fantastic tonight. He came in off the bench with IQ quickly. They played together. And the guy went out and had 14 points. 5 of 9 shooting, 2 threes, a rebound, 3 assists. He had a blocked shot and a steal. I mean, the guy did everything. 2 turnovers. One of them was bad, no big deal, a plus 6. 14 in his debut for the Knicks, and he brought energy, steals, the whole deal. I have to tell you, I am surprised a little bit, frankly, that he's on the bench at the end of the game. I mean, he's so fast and he's so smart with the ball. And he had a no-look to Obi Toppin for a dunk, flush dunk. Toppin looked like he'd never seen a pass that good in his life. But he's not on the floor for the end of the game here. Now, I have no problem if they let Burks shoot. They can barely get the ball in. Payton's got it. He's going to drive. No, it's Barrett. He misses the layup. Oh, my God. He missed a layup. You suck. Oh, my God. He missed a layup. A driving layup. A great opportunity to tie the game. He missed it. And that's game over. I mean, that is unbelievable. Barrett drives down the left lane from the elbow at the top of the key. Drives in on Butler. Misses the layup. Unbelievable. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map, and Sports Byline USA and Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on the bench. I'm Pharrell with Mafia. Great game. Heat win. Knicks cover. I hit both ends of the bet. I wanted the Knicks to win the game. I mean, it was such a great game. Barrett misses a layup. I mean, a driving layup on Butler, and he rolled it off the rim and didn't have enough English on it off the glass. And that's a final 98-96. I had the Knicks plus 7. Cover! Barrett had 13 in the game with the doink miss at the end. Payton had 18. Randall had 12 in the game. Burks had 11. Rose, second leading scorer on the team. Payton, 18. Rose, 14. I thought everybody played well. It was a great game. Miami somehow wins it. They were down 8 in the fourth quarter with like 5 minutes to go, and they still won the game. I mean, the Knicks just blew it. You're up 8 late in the fourth. You got to win the game. You had a chance to take the lead on the Randall baseline step back. That misses. Then you foul, and Butler gets to go to the other end and make the free throws. He makes 1 of 2. You get a chance to tie or win, and Barrett misses the layup. You got to be kidding me. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I can't even watch. I got to turn the channel. I can't even watch. I got to move on to the next game. Celtics and Jazz getting set to go in Salt Lake. Shakers. Jazz laying 5.5. I think on today's, it opened at 4. Today's show on Coast to Coast, I could have sworn Mafia, I got the Celtics with 6 and Jazz to win. So we'll see if that game's as good as advertised. On paper, it looks like, you know, game of the night. Plus, you got the Magic Blazers getting set to go and Sixers Kings at the Golden One in Sactown. Pelicans blew out the Rockets tonight. I hit that 130-101. The Nets lose to the Pistons. I had the Pistons plus 9. And then I hit the Knicks and Heat both ways. Right now the Warriors are up 12 on the Spurs with 7 left in the third. I got the Warriors going in that game tonight. Good show tonight with Marcus Hayes from Philly on the bench.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talking about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Pharrell on the bench with you. Ready. We have, I was saying, Marcus Hayes will join us from the Philly Inquirer this hour, coming up here in, something like 13 minutes or something like that. Anyway, we're going to get into everything Philadelphia style. There's a lot to talk about with that city. I mean, you got the Carson Wentz drama. You got a new head coach, Joe Satriani, the legendary guitarist, now running the Eagles. I'm hearing now in my ear it's Sirianni from Mafia. It's actually someone else entirely. I just thought this Satriani thing would stick. Anyway, talk about the Flyers. They've been pretty tough. Their game got canceled tonight. But their former GM, Ron Hextall, got the GM job in Pittsburgh today of the Penguins. I think it's a undercover operation, Mafia, to ruin the Penguins franchise. I think that he is a frankly, Flyer for life. And I know he worked with the Kings and everything, but, and, you know, he ran the Flyers for a while. And then I just think that, like, there's no one he hates more than the Penguins in his career, if you ask me. And then, like, the Flyers and Penguins hate each other. It's just constant hate. It's been going on since I was in my mother's womb. And then I just felt like one of the players in my lifetime that I hated more than anyone was Ron Hextall. I hated him. Hated him. Like, you have no idea, hate. Like, it'd be like you with the Islanders, right? Same kind of thing. And then, but I don't like them either. Come to think of it. You know, I don't, there's two teams that have irritated me. Well, actually three that have irritated me the most. One, I hated the Flyers. Two, I hated the Islanders because they always beat us in the playoffs. And three, like double overtime, Volek, whatever, overtime goal, whatever it was. And then the Canadiens, they always beat us in the playoffs. So every time they face the Canadiens, it's death. Camilleri last season, they did it again. Camilleri a few years ago. You remember when they beat him in the playoffs and you had to pull me off the ledge on the GW Bridge, you know, 300 feet over the frozen Hudson River. I was going to jump in, and you reached out of the car and saved my life. I can't stand any of those teams. And then today when I saw they got that guy as their GM, like, I knew they were talking to him, but I wanted to puke because I feel like he's a fascist. And he's going to go in there, and his mission is to – he's like Mission Impossible – Mafia, I think he's actually there to destroy the organization. One piece at a time.
Nope.
That's footage of him when they talked about making a trade that would have netted them three great players. He wouldn't do the deal because his goal was to ruin the
Penguins. No good.
See that? And then we can talk about the Sixers with JoJo Embiid, Tobias Harris, and Mr. Simmons. And they got a big game tonight in Sacktown, unless I'm mistaken. I just said they were playing them there. I went for the upset tonight with the Kings. We'll see if they can handle JoJo. But we'll talk to him in a few minutes either way. Celtics and Jazz getting set to go. I have to tell you, Mafia, that I'm upset again tonight. I don't know if you knew this, but last night I was upset because I know that I said on the show, we did it on Coast to Coast, and then on Frawl on the Bench last night, I talked about how troubling it was for me to see Pedro Gomez die. And, you know, it's weird. I didn't know him, but I felt like I did because he covered Barry Bonds when I covered Barry Bonds. And he covered him in San Francisco, right? And he covered, at one point or another in his career, the A's, the Bash Brothers. And so he was always out there in the Bay Area. I was in the Bay Area. I knew who he was. I didn't know him personally. We weren't, like, friends or anything. Literally, ever. But I said this last night. I'm not going to drag into it anymore other than to say, you know, 58 years old with, I think, four kids, a wife. One of his kids is a minor league baseball player in the Red Sox organization. I felt absolutely horrible for his family and friends and colleagues and people, even at ESPN. They worked with him for so long, and he was just such an unbelievable guy. I always liked his work. I thought he was unique and that he could speak different languages, and he spoke the players' languages. He got along with all the Latin players. He was Cuban. His father brought him over to Miami when he was literally in his mother's womb. And then when they got there, like 20 days later, she had the baby. So he was born in Miami. But his family's Cuban. And he went back there several times and reported on what it was like in Havana. And I just thought he was a fascinating guy. And I thought his reporting on baseball was fantastic. He'd been to like 25 World Series, things like this. And he died at 58. He dropped dead. And I just, you know, I'm 55 years old. You know the deal. I ball a lot. I work out every day. I'm obsessed with, you know, frankly, you know, working out. I like to box and kickbox and lift weights and swim and play basketball. That's what I do. Once in a while, I go golfing with Mafia and watch him drink a case of Pabst Blue Ribbon in 2 hours. He can drink the case. Then again, I saw Carver High drink a 12-pack of Bud Light in an hour in Los Angeles. And I lived through them with their alcohol problems because I used to drink so much. And I don't anymore. Instead of drinking, I work out, apparently. That's the same thing. I drank as much as I work out. But I, you know, I take really good care of myself, you know? And I guess when you start getting to be my age, you start thinking about stuff like that. You got kids, a wife, and blah, 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 life insurance, all that stuff, mortgage, you know? You want to see your kids go, if you will, some people want to see their kids go to college, see them get married, and the normal stuff. And I just cannot believe that I saw some guy, 58 years old, drop dead. And I, you know, my mother died when I was young. My father died a couple of years ago. And then I see this guy, Therese Paler, today. And am I wrong, Mafia? He was a friend of ours. He's been on my show a bunch of times. He used to come on Pharrell on a Bench a lot. And what? Talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
Yeah, when he was with the Kansas City Star there covering the Chiefs, we used to have him on all the time. And then he went to Yahoo, was doing the national thing. We had him on still. And it's, you know, like you said, terribly. It's one thing you see, you know, Pedro Gomez, and he was young, you know, way too young for him as well. But then Therese Paler, you know, only 37 years old. And, you know, obviously we're not, like, in these guys' lives. You know, we don't know them that closely to be like, oh, well, this was going on or what wasn't going on. But, you know, for what both seem to be out of nowhere, they just pass away. Well before they should have. It's just crazy.
Right, like, how old was he, 37?
37.
I mean, like, I'm way older than him, right? And that just shouldn't happen, as far as I'm
concerned. 2 years older than me?
Do you know what I mean? Like, I know you're 35. I don't understand how, and it's weird, right? Like, the good die young. I mean, only the good die young. Billy Joel, right? So I just feel like it shouldn't happen. I just don't understand that. Like, I've never been able to grasp losing my mom at a young age, losing a lot of friends, a lot of people. I've seen a lot of people die and everything in my lifetime, been to a lot of funerals, and I just hate it, and I just cannot believe. I watched this week two guys, 58 is young to me, and 37 is just ridiculous. That guy should not be dead. It's just crazy. I just feel horrible for their family and friends and everybody. My condolences. I knew the guy. He was on my show 50 times. So I just feel terrible. All right, Pharrell on the Bench, our boy Marcus Hayes in Pharrelladelphia at the Inquirer, back on the bench, waxing up on the mahogany. How you doing, bro?
Good, Scotty. How you doing, man?
Man, so I have to start with this. Did you know through your career this Paler guy? Because we were just talking about him. He'd been on my show a ton of times over the years, working with the Kansas City Star, and then at Yahoo. Like, he was always, like, you know, coming on, you know, during the football season every year. He just seemed like the greatest guy ever. Like, I had never actually hung out with him. Did you ever know him in all your travels covering, like, the Eagles and stuff like that?
Yeah, he's one of those guys that, like, everybody knew, and that's why he got the Yahoo job. Because it was kind of like his gig. It was kind of like his life. Like, you know, like Pedro Gomez just died, right? From the from ESPN.
Right.
He's kind of like that guy. Everybody knew him. Everybody liked him. Everybody respected him. And that's why they rose. You know, he was so respected, and it was more respect than like. I mean, it sounds as though he was trying to be a kiss ass, but he wasn't a kiss ass. You know, he was a good reporter, and you know, I have connections in Kansas City, and the Kansas City coaching staff loved dealing with him. So it's a big loss for our community.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Like, I told the story earlier before you came on that I didn't know Pedro, but I followed him forever. And he worked in the Bay Area when I lived there and worked there and covered Bonds. And I covered Bonds. And I knew Bonds from my Pittsburgh days. And we didn't like each other. Like, I told him what I thought of him a couple times. And he was the best baseball player I ever saw. But I told him right to his face what I thought of him because he treated people like us like crap. And just like his dad did. And then I was always around this guy, but never really knew him. And then when he dropped dead, no offense, I felt like it was just so sudden and horrible at 58 with a big family, a bunch of kids, a kid in minor league baseball with the Red Sox. I just felt so horrible for, you know, his family and colleagues. I just thought it was devastating. And then like a day later, 2 days later, this kid, 37, drops dead out of nowhere. I'm just like, I'm 55, Marcus. I'm freaking out. I'm like, what is going on here? This is insanity. I couldn't even believe either one of the stories. Could you?
Well, no, honestly. And, you know, Pedro, I covered the Phillies for 8 years, and they were a pretty big deal, and Bonds was a pretty big deal. I mean, I remember one time I went into the Giants clubhouse, and, you know, Bonds had the big recliner in the end of the clubhouse and whatnot, and Billy Wagner had just been traded to the Phillies or had been signed by the Phillies. And I wanted to ask Barry about, you know, facing a left-hander with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. And Barry was being such an idiot with his trainer there. Pedro actually reprimanded him. It was myself, an MLB.com guy, Barry, his trainer, and Pedro was there. And he's just like, Barry, that's not appropriate. I mean, come on. And just walked away. And Barry didn't act any nicer, you know. But right. It's funny that even Pedro had his breaking point with Barry Bonds.
Well, I mean, because Barry's a jerk, and it's so funny to me because I knew him really well after covering him so many years in Pittsburgh and San Francisco that, like, he wasn't fooling me, okay? Like, I may not be this, I may not be that, I may be, you know, whatever. You can call me whatever you want. Although everyone knows I'm cool, and I'm not a D to people, and I treat everyone like I want to be treated in life, and I get along with people, and I support people, and I've never been really a jerk to people that I can recall. I may be everything else, but I'm not putting up with it. Like, so you want to treat me that way? I don't care who you are. I'll light you up right in front of your face. I'll throw something at you. And I did. I got into it with him. They threw me out of the clubhouse multiple times because I had run-ins with Bonds. But that guy, that Pedro Gomez guy, was like the nicest guy ever. Like he was sent from heaven. And there was nothing worse to me than being around Bonds. And you know what's funny is after his baseball life, this whole act of his trying to be nice and riding bikes and being nice to people is so phony because he and his dad were both just complete a-holes to everyone their whole life. That's all there is to it. They hate the media. You cannot change your colors after you're done playing. But that guy, Pedro Gomez, was there anyone nicer ever? Like, when a guy went back to Cuba and was doing stories about Havana, I was, like, crying. I mean, you know what I mean? He had, like, that ability.
Well, he was very authentic, very real, and that's one of the reasons people respected him so much. And, you know as well as I do, there's no beat more grueling than the baseball beat because you're just gone all the time, and it's every single day, and it's 16 hours, you know? And to be able to have that sort of demeanor every single day that Pedro had is just, you know, like you said, it's something angelic. It's something heavenly.
How old are you now, Marcus?
52.
Right? So I got 3 years on you. I'm double nickels. So, like, that stuff scares me. And I was telling the audience, I really, you know, I work out a lot. I play a lot of ball. You know me. You've been on the show a million times. I worry about that stuff. Yeah. I see guys like that, his age or Pedro's age, dropping dead, I just because they both just died out of nowhere. It wasn't like they were sick or something or had any kind of maladies. I just feel like that, you know, no one's even saying what happened. They just died quickly. And I've been around that with my mom dying, my dad dying. I've been around a lot of friends that have died. And it just kind of creeps me out. I just feel awful today with all the stuff that's been going on Sunday and today. It's bumming me out. I have to ask you, let's get on to something else now. No offense. I didn't want to bum you out. But I knew you knew him. I knew you worked around these guys. because you've had a long storied career and people know you, and you had to have met him. So I figured I'd at least ask your opinion of it. So I have a conspiracy theory I want to throw your way. I believe, and you'll say I'm drunk or something, I believe that Ron Hextall was hired by the Penguins to go in and destroy my hockey team. Like, is there anyone on earth that hates the Penguins more than the Flyers or Ron Hextall? I've never hated anyone more than I've hated Ron Hextall and Billy Smith. Okay, so I hate his guts dead. I hate him dead, and I literally hate him dead. And, like, he got the job running my five-time Stanley Cup champion Penguins today, and I think he's there to break up the team, ruin the team, trade away all their draft picks, all their good players, poison. I think he'll poison Evgeny Malkin, poison like your boy Putin, like Putin poisoned that guy. Right. Now they got him in prison. They're going to kill him. That's what I believe Ron Hextall has been hired to do, a secret mission from God, from Philadelphia, to destroy my hockey franchise. It's got to be happening right now. It's probably already started. He's probably already started spiking their food.
Well, I'll tell you this. There's no love lost between Ron Hextall and Flyers, because the Flyers asked him to rebuild their team from the ground up. He did it.
Right.
However, he wouldn't fire Dave Hextall, the college-turned-pro coach, and he wouldn't bring up Carter Hart in time. So they fired him. Ron Hextall will never forgive them for that. If you want someone to rebuild the Penguins and build them to beat a specific team like the Flyers, Ron Hextall will sell his kidney to get that done. Ron Hextall despises the Penguins. The Philadelphia Flyers couldn't pay Ron Hextall enough to help the Philadelphia Flyers at this point. So Ron Hextall is Penguin Nation. He's Pittsburgh through and through right now.
He's the devil.
He's turned coat like Benedict Arnold. He's the best guy that you could have. He's on your side. Trust me.
Yeah.
I remember the day he got fired in Philadelphia. The Flyers were pretty classy. They rented him a hotel room or a hotel conference room across the street from the Flyers skate zone so he could hold a press conference with, you know, for us. They couldn't have this press conference at the Flyers skate zone, but they rented him a conference room and gave him a PR guy to have a, you know, sort of farewell press conference. And after the press conference, he felt so betrayed, and he will work to his dying breath for retribution against the team that he once loved.
Wow, that is crazy, because I think he's Satan. And I just couldn't believe, like, I knew that he was going to interviewing, and he had a second interview. When they start talking about second interviews in the NHL with all them white, recycled bottle water, these guys get jobs. Like Brian Burke, he got the president of hockey ops job. He's 66. The guys had 15 jobs. I mean, you couldn't get rid of him if he died. He'd literally come back from the dead and run five more teams. But when I saw Ron Hextall had a second interview, I was like, oh no, oh no. They're going to hire Satan.
Weekend at Brian's, huh?
Listen, I'm telling you, there's something going on. It's a conspiracy. Now, my buddy went to law school with him at Harvard, and
right.
So I called him up today, and I said, "Can you get him on my show?" Because he's a crusty old fart, and I was like, "Can you get him on the show today?" And he said, "Let me call him." And obviously, the guy heard Pharrell, and he ran and threw the phone in the pool and shot his dog and. He didn't do the interview, but I'm not sure I like him either. I don't know what to say. When we come back, we'll talk to Marcus Hayes about the Eagles and the Sixers. I might even ask him about the Phillies. I'm in that kind of mood. 844-843-6879. I don't even have any idea how much time I have left. All right, I got four. Two, one, go.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
right, Pharrell with Marcus Hayes from the Inquirer in Philadelphia. I have to ask you, Steve Nash said that in not so many words that Kyrie Irving was better than Allen Iverson, and I went, I was just not having it. There was, I mean, honest to Christ, no one, like, I'm done listening. I don't care if you're a Hall of Famer. I don't care if you're the head coach. I don't care if you're a soccer player, like, because he is a soccer player. He's always playing soccer. I don't care if you run, you know, the Boston Marathon. Don't tell me that anyone was better than Allen Iverson, okay? I don't want to hear it. I will go to my grave thinking he was the most exciting toothpick, skinny, ankle-breaking, bucket-making, badass, a buck 50 soaking wet, and would absolutely take Michael Jordan and wring out his jock strap with his moves and took the Sixers to the finals on his back, which he could barely carry a lunch bucket to school when he was a little kid. He's so skinny and little. And that guy, I think Kyrie Irving's great. I think he's awesome. I think he's incredible when he plays 2 days a month. But no one is better than Allen Iverson. I just wanted to say that because you're in Philly. I'm not having it. He was my favorite player. The guy was a freak from high school, Georgetown, and all the way to the Sixers. Are you kidding me? I don't even care where he played. He was still better. He's better today. He could play today all drunk.
Yeah, Allen was exciting to watch. Kyrie is twice the basketball player Allen Iverson is.
So you think he's better, too?
Kyrie is so much better than Allen Iverson. And I covered every year of Allen Iverson in Philadelphia, and it was fun to watch.
Now I hate you.
Kyrie
Irving. Now I hate you. No way. Now I hate you. I cannot believe you have sided with these communists and these fascists. What do you go to dinner with Steve Nash? You hanging out with him now? Listen,
Steve Nash,
you guys.
Steve Nash is the most liberal person in America and Canada.
Listen, you. Here's what happened. Here's what happened. You're rooting for some guy, and I think he's a great player too. The guy that shows up for work one day a month, plays 2 days a month, takes more vacations than Howard Stern. I mean, your boy, honestly, and I
the world is flat.
Listen,
the world is flat. Don't forget about that.
Thanks the world's flat. Howard taught me how to take vacations. I respect his vacation schedule, by the way. But that guy, I'm sorry. Now I hate you. So you must not have liked Iverson when he played there. Was that it?
No, you can like both. You can think both are great. I mean, both are going to be in the Hall of Fame. Kyrie Irving is just a wonderful, wonderful player. Allen might be a better athlete than Kyrie, but Kyrie is a more skilled, better shooting, better finishing, better passing basketball player. And let's be honest, Allen, you're a good basketball player. You know that Allen had serious deficiencies in his game to the degree that he couldn't play point guard late in his career. You know, all he had to do was bring the ball up and distribute it properly. He couldn't do it. So,
what will Kyrie Irving do late in his career besides not play? He won't even show up. He won't even that guy. He won't even last five. He won't even last five more years in the NBA. He's gonna run a church or something.
You might be right, but he's got a ring.
Yeah, well, if Philly would have ever given Iverson any players, he would have won more rings.
Well, it's hard to play with a guy who won't give the ball back up to you. Nobody ever wanted to play with that guy.
Why? Because he put on a show every night?
No, because he never gave the ball back. That's why. Trust me, I love watching Allen Iverson. But Allen Iverson did play winning basketball. Kyrie Irving doesn't play perfect basketball, you know. But I respect Steve Nash's opinion because, you know, another guy with a jacket, right?
Fair enough, but do you think that it helped at all that Kyrie Irving got his ring playing with LeBron James? Who did Iverson play with?
Allen needed help, there's no doubt. But you have to be able to accept the help. People have to want to play with you. Nobody wanted to play on Allen Iverson's team. You couldn't pay him enough. You literally couldn't pay enough. A good player enough to play with Allen Iverson. You know, Paul Pierce almost had that happen to him. you know?
Sacrilege. I can't believe this stuff coming out of your mouth. It's sacrilege. It should be, there should be a police at your door. You should be taken in for questioning immediately. They should show up with a warrant at your house right now. Can't even believe this.
For
blasphemy.
Malpractice of sports writing.
Yeah, yeah. Blasphemy.
Especially in Philly, right?
Blasphemy.
Especially in Philadelphia.
Mafia.
Right?
Can you believe this guy, Mafia? Can you even believe it? I can't even believe it. I don't know what to do now. I feel like I just got a flat tire on the highway, and I'm in Texas, and there isn't, the nearest town is 400 miles away. Let me ask you. So now that you are a communist, now that you have, you've rattled me, is what you've done. You've ruined my night. Now, I don't like, I'll tell you what, I think Irving's incredible, too. I won't deny that. I think he's incredible. But, you know, I don't know. I'd rather see, you know, drunken Allen Iverson wasted showing up and playing with a hangover than the guy that never shows up for work and takes off weeks at a time because he needs to talk to Jesus or whatever the hell he's doing. I'm telling you, that bothers me. I don't know anyone that does that to their teammates. I need a break. A break of what? Like, you're worried about COVID? Everyone's worried about COVID. You're worried about the changing the world? Everybody's changing the world and worried about it. Show it. You make $35 million. Show up and play ball. That's all I know. Did Iverson do that? He never played?
He didn't practice.
Well, who cares about practice? Hey, so is JoJo Simmons and Tobias? I think Tobias has been the difference for me in that when they got him, I never thought he did anything other than get his average 18 to 20 a night or whatever. But now I think I've noticed that he finally, in whatever it is, year three or something, I could be wrong, I think he's taken his game to another level, and he's added that piece that they wanted all along that can produce at a high level with those other guys instead of just watching them produce.
Well, you're right. The two things that he does better now is when Joel Embiid goes out of the game, he's able to create his own shot off the dribble and get open and produce. He's a good secondary scorer, both from the perimeter and from the post, depending on the matchup. The other thing that I think we'll see manifest itself as we go along this season is he's much better one-on-one defensively and with his defensive positioning. And that's something you got to learn, you know. I credit Brett Brown a lot with the fact that Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and now Tobias Harris understand advanced defensive concepts, team defensive concepts, and are applying them. It's not like Doc Rivers taught these guys how to play defense in 6 weeks or whatever. This is the vestige of Brett Brown and his assistants. So, yes, Tobias took a big step forward this season. We'll see how far it can go when teams start treating him like a Chris Middleton and really try to start locking him down, you know?
Yeah, so do you think, and I still want to ask you about Wentz, but do you think Doc has made a difference at all since he's been there?
Yeah, Joel and Ben respect Doc more than they respected Brett Brown. And with this generation of athlete, that's incredibly important, especially since Joel and Ben have huge deficiencies remaining in their games. And that's not a criticism. They're both relatively new to what they're being asked to do. Joel, to be a basketball player in general, he didn't start playing until 9 years ago. And Ben, to be a point guard, having been a kind of a point forward most of his career. But yes, the respect for Doc Rivers makes a huge difference with those two players.
What did you think when the Eagles hired Joe Satriani, the legendary guitarist, to be their head football coach?
I am so glad you said that, because every time I see his name, I think about Joe Satriani. I've actually written Nick Satriani a couple of times and deleted it. Nick Sirianni is, you know, I feel sorry for him. He's inheriting a horrible situation in that his best players are old, his young players aren't talented, his owner and his general manager are irrational at this point, and
evil.
They have huge salary cap problems. Yeah, he's in a horrible situation, and I don't think he's built for, you know, I grew up in New York State. I know Jamestown, New York. It ain't like Philadelphia. Indianapolis ain't like Philadelphia, you know. So I don't know that he's built for this town and this job.
Yeah, believe me, you. I went on TV and I said to Adam Kaplan, you know Adam, I said that guy is in over his head. That and that initial press conference, I don't care what anybody says. That was all you need to know, that he's in for a nightmare on his hand. He is gonna, they are gonna eat him alive there in Philly. So what are they gonna do with Wentz? Because I think it's the Colts. The Bears are over here like saying that the Eagles are ridiculous. What they want, is he getting traded this week?
I don't think he's gonna get traded this week. I think the Eagles hoped that one of the teams in play, including the Colts and the Bears, those are the teams we know about, but I think there are a couple of other teams that are interested. I think they thought, okay, before everybody else comes on the market, let's see what we can get. The big deal is there's a $10 million roster bonus Carson is due early March. That's right. When I think the talks heat up, and that's when I think the Eagles decide, are we just going to cut bait, or are we going to try to call Carson's bluff? Because everybody's talking about Carson wants to leave. What's he going to do? You know, take the year off? Take 2 years off? The Eagles are, if he does, the Eagles are going to pay him. You know, he's just, I mean, they can play, what is it called, Mexican standoff? There is no reason for them to blink, you know? So I don't understand the leverage Carson thinks he has. If he thinks they're going to pay $34 million, which is their cap hit, for a fourth-round draft pick and a backup linebacker, he's crazy, you know? And they've bent over backwards to do everything for him even before he got drafted. They hired a coaching staff to develop whatever quarterback they drafted in 2016 with him in mind. So he can't – they're not great at it, but they've done everything they can to accommodate and weaponize him. If he doesn't appreciate it, if he doesn't like it, if I'm them, I'm just like, okay – We'll see you in July, or we won't. You know, it's your paycheck. Come get it.
Wow, that's crazy. I got a minute, respectfully. Are the Phillies going to be any good?
No, they're not going to be any good. It's not that they're not going to be any good. It's that the rest of the East and the National League is going to be great. I mean, they are a normal Philly. This Phillies roster normally would be a 90-win team. In this division, they're an 80-win team.
Wow, 80 wins. And then Didi got his 14 mil clean per year. Hey, so I cannot believe you. I'm going to toss and turn all night that you said all those just horrible things about Allen Iverson. Honestly, like, I hope, I hope you get E. coli.
Well, I'm going to stay away from salads and milk.
I love you. Hey, Marcus, you know I love you, bro. You're the best. I always enjoy having you on the show. You crack me up. Great stuff. I'll catch up with you again real soon, dude. All the best.
Thanks for having me, man. I'll talk to you later.
My man, Marcus Hayes of the Philadelphia Inquirer, great guy and great writer. Check out his stuff. And I can't believe the knife in my chest right now, Mafia, talking about AI like that. I don't know where Mafia got all of this funky music that isn't illegal to play constantly in handcuffs around here with all the rules and such about music. I get so upset about that, Mafia. You know that drives me nuts. Wasn't I in music prison last week or the last 2 weeks? Started getting all kinds of threats.
We don't believe
about the
in
music.
Rules. Like, we gave them up when we started living like freaky beatniks.
I just wanted to say that I've been breaking rules my whole life, and I've had a lot of fun doing it, and I'm going to continue to do it until they finally eviscerate me from this earth. So I keep trying to watch this St. John's game. They're down 64-63 to Butler. I've turned this game on 9 times, and it's in a commercial. What is the deal? Oh, it's finally on. They had 15 minutes of commercials in the middle of the game, 3 minutes left. I mean, that was the longest television commercial break I've ever seen in my life for a basketball game. My God. How can you be as hot as St. John's has been, Mafia? As hot as all get out, and they can't beat Butler? I mean, Butler's been horrible. And now Butler's up... They're up three on St. John's now with 2:40 left. I can't believe it. The Johnnies have been on fire. And then you go there. I told you today on Coast to Coast, I'm like, you go to Hinkle, you lose. That's it. It doesn't matter if they were 2-20. They'll beat anybody in that gym. There's something about the field house. That place is haunted. It's a haunted house. Mafia knows there's ghosts at the Hinkle Fieldhouse. They're going to play NCAA tournament games there. You're going to see all kinds of big upsets in that building because it's run by ghosts. Paranormal. Mafia knows it's true. Can you believe that Marcus Hayes talking bad about Allen Iverson? Could you believe he talked that bad about Allen Iverson?
The one person in Philly not brainwashed by him is amazing.
He's brainwashed. It's Pharrell on the Bench.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.